Welcome to another deep dive, and this time we're going deep into the career and creative output of John Dereveleny.
Oh, this should be fun.
We've got a pretty interesting mix of source material for this one.
Okay.
We've got his website, like the More About Me section, and then the videos page.
I love those pages on websites. They're always so interesting.
And it really is about uncovering, like, what makes this guy tick?
Mm-hmm.
Because get ready for a wild ride. We're going from investigative journalism to comedy writing to children's TV.
Wow, that's quite a range.
And even speed metal ukulele. Speed metal ukulele.
I had no idea that was even a thing.
It is a thing.
Okay.
So it's really fascinating how someone can have such a diverse range of interests and actually find success in all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just dabbling either, right?
Yeah.
Serious accomplishments in multiple fields.
Exactly.
Impressive.
So let's start at the beginning with his early career in journalism.
Okay.
At just 21, he became the editor of the Hoboken Reporter in New Jersey. Which, if you don't know, Hoboken is known for its, shall we say, lively political scene.
I've heard a thing or two about Hoboken politics.
Right. And he even won statewide awards for his investigative pieces.
At 21?
Yeah.
That's very impressive, especially at that age.
Yeah.
You have to wonder, like, what were those early stories about? And did they plant the seeds for any of his later work?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And then we see this interesting shift from quote-unquote serious journalism
okay.
to comedy writing.
Interesting.
He actually, on his website, calls journalism a thankless career.
Yeah, I can see how it can be that.
It does make you wonder if that experience shaped his perspective on using humor as, like, a tool,
mm-hmm.
even when dealing with, like, complex issues.
Right.
I mean, he founded a comedic newspaper called the Hoboken Review.
Right.
Which eventually led him to National Lampoon, which, as we know, was a breeding ground for, like, comedy legends.
Yeah, a lot of big names got their start at National Lampoon. That's a classic stepping stone in the comedy world.
And he didn't stop there. He was also freelancing for 17 Magazine and The Village Voice at the same time.
Wow, that's quite a mix. It seems like he was building a diverse portfolio right from the start.
It really does.
Yeah.
And then comes his first book.
Okay.
Yuppies Invade My House at Dinner Time.
Interesting title.
It's a collection of letters to the editor
okay.
from his time at the Hoboken Reporter.
All right.
But it's more than just a random collection. It documents the gentrification of Hoboken in a way that resonated with people.
Okay.
The New York Times Book Review even called it a light book about a big issue.
Hmm. Catchy. And the book's impact, it seems to, like, still be felt today.
How so?
Well, it's used in college courses.
Oh, wow.
It was adapted into a play.
Really?
And even inspired a museum exhibit in 2023.
Yeah.
It's not often you see a book with that kind of lasting power.
Hmm.
Especially one that started as, you know, letters to the editor.
That's so true. From there, he jumps into television, starting with writing monologues and sketches for Night After Night with Alan Havey on the then new Comedy Central.
Okay.
This is where we start to see, I think, his comedy writing really take off. But things take a really interesting turn with his work on TV Nation with Michael Moore.
Ooh, TV Nation, yeah.
This was the early 90s. And TV Nation was really pioneering this new style of comedy journalism, I guess you would call it.
Right, right. Which, if you think about it, really paved the way for shows like The Daily Show, you know, that we know and love today.
It's true. It's true. And this is where we meet.
Ooh.
Crackers, the corporate crime-fighting chicken.
Oh, yes. I remember Crackers. It's such a brilliant, absurd creation. I mean, it's Dereveleny in a full chicken suit.
It's amazing.
Taking on white-collar crime and drawing huge crowds. Like, it's such a departure from the more traditional journalism that he started with.
Makes you wonder if Crackers was his way of satirizing the very issues he might have covered as a serious journalist.
Oh, absolutely. And you have to remember, this was the era of McGruff the Crime Dog.
Oh, yeah.
So Crackers kind of takes that familiar concept and turns it into this hilarious commentary on corporate greed.
I love it.
It's both funny and thought-provoking.
And from a giant chicken suit.
Mm-hmm.
He somehow lands at Nickelodeon working on Angry Beavers.
Oh, wow.
And eventually the Jim Henson Company, developing shows, you know, with puppets and humans, including Animal Jam.
It's like he's constantly pushing himself into these new creative territories.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about finding success. It's about exploring different ways of storytelling and reaching different audiences.
It really is. And he even spent years, like, writing for children's TV,
huh.
contributing to over 100 shows, and serving as showrunner or head writer for a dozen, with LEGO Legends of Chima being like a major highlight.
Okay.
What's interesting to me is this through line of humor throughout his career, even in children's television, which, you know, often is seen as just like lighthearted.
Yeah.
He's able to kind of weave in these layers of satire and social commentary.
It's subtle, but it's there. And it speaks to his ability to connect with audiences on multiple levels.
Yeah.
He's not just entertaining. He's making you think.
So far, we've got an award-winning journalist, a successful comedy writer, and a prominent figure in children's television.
That's quite a resume.
What's next?
I don't know. What is next? This is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Buckle up, because we're about to dive into the world of speed metal ukulele.
Speed metal?
Yeah.
On ukuleles?
Yes.
I have so many questions, but first, I need to wrap my head around this concept.
Okay. So, Drevlani didn't just play the ukulele. He co-founded and wrote songs for a band called Uke Till You Puke, UTUP for short. Mm. And they were pioneers of this loud, aggressive, heavy metal sound.
Okay.
All played on ukuleles.
It's such a wild juxtaposition, from writing for kids to blasting out speed metal on an instrument that most people associate with, like Hawaiian beaches.
I know. Yeah. It's very unexpected, to say the least. And their performances were just as chaotic as you'd imagine.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Blending catchy tunes with instrument smashing.
Oh, my God.
It's a far cry from the world of children's television.
It's a very far cry.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder what drew him to such an unconventional genre. Like, was it a creative rebellion? Was it a way to blow off steam? Or maybe he just liked the challenge of making ukulele sound angry?
I mean, whatever the reason, it clearly worked.
Yeah.
UTUP made a name for themselves. They even appeared on TV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they even got featured in a 2003 documentary called Rock That Uke.
Amazing. It seems like every time Drevlani masters a skill or finds success in one area,
yeah.
he throws himself into something completely different. It's almost like he's like allergic to creative stagnation.
Right. And I think that's what makes him so fascinating to study.
Yeah.
He's a reminder that you don't have to be defined by one thing. You can constantly evolve and explore new possibilities. And sometimes the most unexpected combinations can lead to the most interesting results.
Speaking of unexpected combinations, the next chapter in Drevlani's career takes us from the mosh pit to the streets. Literally. Remember that recession we mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
Well, when funding for some of his TV projects dried up,
mm-hmm.
Drevlani found a new outlet for his creativity, street art.
Interesting. But this wasn't just any street art. He created a 90-foot-long board game.
What?
Yeah, called Culverland. It was installed on a sidewalk in Culver City.
Okay.
And what's brilliant is that players move based on the colors of passing cars.
Wait, so the game relies on chance encounters with traffic?
Yes.
That's so clever.
It is.
I can imagine a game could take a while depending on the flow of traffic that day.
Right.
It's amazing.
And it's not just a random creation. This project was part of IndieCade, which is an international festival for independent games.
Oh, okay.
So it really highlights Drevlani's connection to the gaming world.
Which, speaking of, this brings us to another fascinating aspect of Drevlani's creative journey.
Okay.
Video games.
He makes video games, too.
He actually builds and programs his own games from scratch. He does it all himself. Art, music, gameplay, coding.
Wow.
But it's so time-consuming that none have been commercially released.
Oh, okay.
They're more passion projects, experiments, and interactive storytelling.
Okay.
And they're anything but ordinary. He mentions two specifically, Best Parent Ever, The Game, and Giant Big Shoe Man.
I am intrigued by the titles alone. Tell me more.
Well, Best Parent Ever is based on a blog he ran with his wife.
Okay.
And it's a parenting game where drinking red wine prevents you from exploding.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I'm already hooked. Yeah. What about Giant Big Shoe Man?
This one's described as a first-person stomper played with a Dance Revolution pad. You play as a giant stomping on, bug-like creatures.
Oh, my.
And you have to clean off the bottom of your shoe.
What?
It's another unexpected twist in the John Drevlani saga.
So we have a man who's gone from exposing political corruption to making a parenting game about the therapeutic benefits of red wine.
It's amazing.
It really makes you wonder what connects all these seemingly disparate interests? Is there an underlying thread that runs through all of his work? Is it humor? Is it a love of the absurd? Or maybe just a desire to constantly push boundaries?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
And one we'll hopefully get closer to answering as we continue this deep dive.
So next, we'll move on to some of Derevelny's video work.
Okay.
He's got quite a collection of projects, and each one seems to add another layer to this complex creative puzzle.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, so we've explored Derevelny's ventures into journalism, comedy, children's TV, even speed metal ukulele.
It's quite the mix.
Now, let's dive in some of his video work.
Okay.
His website gives us a glimpse into some key projects, yeah, starting with a show called Squish.
Squish is interesting, particularly because it's based on a best-selling comic series.
Oh, really?
But the TV adaptation faced, like, seriously bad timing.
How so?
Well, so the show premiered in February 2020.
Okay.
And it was pulled almost immediately.
What?
In March 2020.
Talk about rough luck.
Yeah, talk about rough luck. Well, Squish is about microscopic organisms in middle school.
Oh, okay.
An amoeba, a paramecium, bacteria, and a virus named Vinny.
Uh-oh.
This was all happening just as a certain coronavirus was reaching pandemic levels.
Oof. I can see why networks might have been hesitant to air a show about germs and viruses at that particular moment.
Yeah, what a PR nightmare that could have been.
Right.
Talk about unfortunate timing. Dereal Avaney even mentions on his site that Vinny only appeared in 4 of the 52 episodes.
Oh, wow.
And then most of the scripts were written years earlier.
Oh, so it was just, like, bad luck.
Just really bad luck, but
right,
but nobody wanted to take any chances, it seems.
Right, right.
But there's good news.
Oh, good.
COVID has subsided, and Squish is starting to reappear on networks worldwide.
Oh, that's great.
You can even catch it on the POP channel in the UK.
That's fantastic. It's a testament to the show's quality that it's, like, finding a new audience, even after that initial setback.
It is. It really is.
It makes you wonder if the show might even resonate more strongly with audiences now.
Oh, how so?
Given our, like, heightened awareness of viruses and microscopic life after COVID.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. We've all become, like, amateur virologists in a way.
It's true.
So maybe Squish can offer a new layer of understanding and even humor,
yeah,
to a topic that was once shrouded in fear and uncertainty.
Next on the video list is LEGO Legends of Chima, which aired on Cartoon Network and about 40 other channels globally from 2013 to 2015. This seems like a pretty major project.
Oh, absolutely. Derevelny wrote the pilot, 3-season Bibles, all 43 episodes,
no,
and a 4D theme park movie.
Wow, that's some serious commitment. It sounds like he really, like, threw himself into this world.
He did. And you know what's even more interesting?
Right.
He actually created a short animated film titled Derevelny Wants to Work for LEGO back in 2011.
Really?
When he was applying for the job.
Wait, what? He made, like, a whole animated pitch video?
Yes.
That's incredible.
It is. And guess what?
It worked.
It worked.
That's brilliant. Talk about a bold move that paid off. Mm. It really shows his passion for the project and his, like, willingness to go above and beyond.
Definitely makes you wonder what other, like, creative pitches he's come up with over the years.
Right. I would love to see, like, a collection of his pitch videos.
Now, along with these, like, bigger productions, Derevelny also, like, dabbles in low-budget independent films.
Does he?
Yeah. He mentions one called Snot Bubble Boy.
Snot Bubble Boy.
A flash animated short based on his son, Ian.
Ah, oh, that's adorable.
It is.
Yeah.
And it actually screened at several film festivals in 2011.
Right.
And it got some pretty positive reviews.
That's great. You know, what I find really impressive is that Derevelny was like a one-man show on this project.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote it, he directed it, he composed the music, he animated it, he did everything himself.
That's right. It speaks to his, like, his well-rounded skill set and his ability to wear multiple hats, which, you know, seems to be a recurring theme throughout his career.
Definitely. Okay, so now we have to talk about Crackers, the corporate crime-fighting chicken.
Yes.
His website mentions some video footage of him from TV Nation.
Oh, okay.
I'm ready to see Derevelny in action.
Well, the footage is from a segment where Crackers goes to St. Louis.
Okay.
It's classic TV Nation using humor and satire to highlight, you know, corporate wrongdoing.
Dereal Venny mentions that the chicken suit was hot and uncomfortable, but you can't tell from his performance. He is totally committed to the bit.
Yeah.
Drawing in huge crowds.
Right.
And delivering these, like, hilarious lines.
It's clear he's having fun with it. And yeah, and that energy is contagious. It's no wonder Crackers became such a memorable character.
You know, before Crackers and TV Nation, there was Leftovers, a live-action short film that Derevelny made, shot in 16mm.
Yes, Leftovers. Seems like a true passion project.
He wrote it, directed it, produced it, scored it, and edited it all himself.
That's incredible.
And it was a success too, winning awards at nearly a dozen film festivals.
And it shows that his talent isn't limited to just like animation or comedy. Right. He's a skilled filmmaker in multiple genres.
Okay, ready for more musical mayhem?
Always.
We have footage of Uke Till You Cuke performing on Fox News New York back in the 1990s.
Imagine tuning into Fox News and seeing like this band rocking out with ukuleles.
I know.
Singing about, well, who knows what they were singing about?
That's the beauty of UTUP, right? Mm-hmm. It's unpredictable and completely bonkers.
Exactly. And it's such a stark contrast to his work on those like heartwarming children's shows.
Right.
It really highlights the breadth of his creative output.
And last but not least, we have Endangered Species, a quirky show that aired briefly on Teletoon in Canada.
Okay.
And a few other channels. It seems this one still has like a bit of a cult following.
Does it?
And deservedly so. It was nominated for 3 Canadian Screenwriting Awards in 2016.
Wow.
Including Best Animated Program or Series, Best Direction in an Animated Program or Series, and Best Writing in an Animated Program or Series.
Okay.
And that last nomination was for an episode written by, you guessed it, John DeRevlin.
Of course. The man is unstoppable. He's written for shows that have entertained audiences worldwide. He's tackled serious issues through comedy. He's even inspired museum exhibits.
It's an incredible legacy, and we've only just begun to, like, scratch the surface of his work in this deep dive.
Yeah.
Now let's shift gears and explore the man behind all these incredible projects.
Okay. So far we've seen that John DeRevlin is not afraid to like try new things, to push boundaries, and to really embrace the unexpected.
He definitely seems like someone who thrives on creative challenges.
Now let's get to know the man behind all these incredible projects.
Okay.
And surprisingly, his personal life seems almost like normal.
Normal.
Yeah, compared to this, like, whirlwind of a career.
It's true.
He grew up in Queens, New York.
Okay.
And Quebec, Canada.
Interesting mix.
Now he lives in Culver City, California, with his wife, Kim, kids, Ian and Ava Rave, and a dog named Stanley. He surfs, he plays video games, you know, regular stuff.
It's interesting, isn't it? After diving into this, like, incredibly diverse and creative career, we find this like grounded, almost relatable person.
I know, it is interesting. It's a nice reminder that even the most extraordinary individuals like have these ordinary aspects to their lives.
Exactly.
Speaking of relatable, his website has a whole paragraph dedicated to his dog, Stanley.
He even says Stanley looks at him every morning like this.
Like what?
And then just leaves it at that.
Oh, that's such a great detail. It's like he's inviting you to imagine like what that look might be. Is it judging? Is it adoration? Maybe a little bit of both.
I know, right? It's such a like dog owner thing. That look that says like, are you really gonna eat that? Or it's walk time, buddy. Don't even try to pretend you're still sleeping.
Exactly. It's a perfect way to end this deep dive, I think. You know, we've explored the extraordinary career of John DeRevlin, this whirlwind of creativity and innovation. But ultimately, he's a person just like you and me, with a family, a dog, and a life that's both extraordinary and perfectly ordinary.
It really makes you think, doesn't it, about the different facets of our own lives, the creative impulses we might be ignoring, and the potential we all have to surprise ourselves and the world around us.
So what have we learned from this deep dive? Maybe it's that creativity has no limits, that it can take you down unexpected paths, and that you're never too old to try something new.
Or maybe it's that success isn't just about accolades and awards, but about the impact you have on the world, the conversations you spark, and the joy you bring to others.
John DeRevlin's story is a reminder that we all have the potential to be more than just one thing. We can be journalists and comedians, artists and musicians, and even speed metal ukulele players.
The key is to embrace our curiosity, to experiment, and to never stop exploring the vast landscape of our own creativity. Who knows what you might discover?
And if you're feeling inspired to dive deeper into John DeRevlin's work, we encourage you to check out the source links provided. And who knows, maybe this deep dive has sparked an idea for your own creative project.
That's it for this deep dive. Until next time, keep those creative sparks flying.